talk about this thing that's in my brain. It keeps me from wanting to go on, but I want some gain. Maybe a little fame. Yeah, oh yeah.
Coach Romo, we got you on our Diamond Talk show once again here for In the Zone. Your boys have already started their year.
Yes, they have.
We're looking at, what do you guys got in the books now? 7 games already?
We have 7 games in the books. And also, by the way, it's great to be back. Very, very excited to be back on the show. We have 7 games in the books so far and a 4-3 record on the docket.
I love to hear that. And Coach, we would love to have you anytime. Don't even worry about that. Don't even worry about that. So I did want to talk a little bit today about what's been going on, what seems to be clicking. What are we working on the field so far with the boys? I saw it looks like a 2-game winner. Was that yesterday or the day before against Coast Guard?
Yeah, that was on Monday. And a lot's working, honestly, Sal. I think the biggest thing with the team that is learning how to win is you have to almost hit every negative stop along the way. So we hit the good. We won a doubleheader sweep on the first weekend of the year against Norwich. We had a 1-0 win, which is always a fun one to try and win. And then we had a 17-4 victory, which is always a fun one.
The other side of the spectrum. Yep.
It's very unrealistic. And then you play two teams from the NJAC and Rutgers Newark and NJCU. And they kind of, showed you what teams that know how to win can do. And you come up on the losing end for the first time all year. You kind of have to look at yourself and say, okay, who are we? What are we made of? We also lost 17-3 to somebody. So we got happened to us. So then we went down to Myrtle Beach for 5 days. We played Delaware Valley and Coast Guard, and Delaware Valley beat us 9-3, but it was not a 9-3 loss that you look at and say, man, we were terrible that day. It was really more or less like 3 or 4 mistakes lost us the game. So we went to the practice next day at Myrtle. Right. And then we went to the practice next day at Myrtle Beach, and we essentially said, we are primarily working on situations that win and lose baseball games. So we spent almost an hour on, man on second base, up by 2 runs, in the top of the 7th inning, 1 out. And you got to work your way through the 9th inning and win that situation and get through that situation.
Okay.
And, I know it's only a practice scenario, but we practice hard and we stress practicing like it's a game scenario. And I really do truly feel like the next day against Coast Guard, everything we put into play on the practice field came into fruition and we were on the winning side of those things. So we were able to learn a lot so far in the first week and a half, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And now in 7 games, I feel like we've hit every bit of adversity that you could even think of. And so we'll see where the learning goes from there.
Right. And now you're going to start getting into stuff like, and hopefully no injuries yet. Hopefully nothing that sidelined anybody for the year.
Nothing insanely serious so far.
That's to me, that's the college season. That's where it picks up when you start to hit it, get into the player's stamina.
100%. And it's like, who can last, right? Because like everyone's excited. We used to talk last year at FDU all the time about day one energy every day. And it's like everyone's excited on the first day of the year. It's so easy to be excited the first game of the year, but how you feel in 10 or 12 days in when your body's never 100% again, because it's as an athlete, your body was 100% one time. And that was the day you started playing. After that, it's never 100% again. So it's how you handle those situations that say, what's your longevity as a team? How long can you keep this thing going? How good can you be? And so I talk to our guys all the time. Like, you got to take care of your body. Like, I think it was you or maybe Andrew that made a joke to me. Like, every time I look at the camera, someone's always stretching. And I'm like, yeah, because it just matters to us, or at least that, it matters to me. So therefore now it matters to them.
Now it matters to them.
But to me, then it has to help us in the long run. If we take care of our bodies, we can be a team that, if we continue to learn from these lessons over time, well, now we're a team that can win that's healthy. And I think that's one of the toughest teams to beat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I was saying, with the college season, it really picks up pretty quick and the pace is strong through the playoffs, really. So if you don't have a healthy squad going in, you got a lot of question marks. And I think that that's going to be a huge factor if you can keep these boys healthy.
100%. So, and it's been a fun start to the year. So we'll see, man. I mean, there's so much that happens, even though it's a shortened 2.5-3 month season, 40 games, like it's not 162. I get it, but there's still so much that happens and you're just such a different team the first week than you are the last week. And so I'm trying to keep, you know, something my dad says all the time is don't let your highs get too high. Don't let your lows get too low. So, you know, one of our guys said, you know, we got to keep a steady heartbeat. And I'm like, that's a great point. Like we got to have a steady heartbeat as a team 100% of the time. Cause you know, we aren't going to be the same in 3 weeks that we were to start the year, but hopefully that steady heartbeat's the same. So therefore, as we get better from the winning side of things and the execution side of things, we keep that heartbeat steady. There's no such thing as presser situations. It's really just what you've practiced and therefore you can succeed at a high level.
Absolutely, Coach. I couldn't agree more. So before we shift over a little bit, I just wanted to ask, we got 7 games in the book so far. Who's been turning some heads?
7 games in the book. So the first one off the top of my head is Chris Gass, our starting shortstop. Definitely went through his own. Did he get a
huge hit the other day, Coach?
Did, 100th hit, and then went off and is leading our team in hitting. We had a spark from a kid named Dom Salat the other day. We put him in the starting lineup to spark us, and he did spark us. And, you know, just regular contributors. Anthony Vassallo, our starting second baseman, has been electric, just really consistent for us all year. Paul Links, our center fielder, who is one of the better players in program history, to be honest with you, man. But you know,
actually played with him.
Awesome. And it was struggling to start the year and came through in a clutch way with a walk-off winner and in extras. And honestly, I could go on. I mean, like there's at least, you know, Louis Vassallo on the mound, Anthony Frazier, Adam Yarrison, and Matt Orline had such a huge start for us the other day off a 3-game losing streak. And your fifth year senior left-handed starter just comes out and says, you know what? I got 5 innings for you. You're good. We'll keep you in this baseball game and then you can go and win it. So, you know, the list goes on, but that's been the cool part about it is we've had a lot of guys contribute. It's come from a lot of different areas when we've had the 4 wins. And I hope they see that. Cause if they see that, they understand that everyone matters. And you never know when the biggest moment's going to happen for you. But if you're always prepared mentally, you're going to hopefully succeed in a high way in that opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that you guys are primed to head into, you know, this middle portion of the year here. And this is where you're kind of going to determine your path. So
100%. Like, you know what it is, man? You're going to win 10 games and you're probably going to lose 10 games every year. So it's what you do with the other 20. So when you look at 4 and 3, you're like, all right, well, there's 4 of our 10 and there's 3 of our 10. Exactly. So, you know, we still got 20 that we really ultimately want to make the best games we play all year, which are probably the difference maker games in our season when it comes down the stretch in conference play. 100%. So that's the perspective, Sal, I'm trying to keep on the year right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great headspace. So I wanted to pull away from Centenary baseball and let you kind of just spout off a little bit. You've been paying attention to baseball outside, or have you been too swallowed up in your own stuff?
I mean, we're definitely super swallowed up, but I pay attention to baseball at all levels and times because I know my players care about it. I definitely want to stay relatable. So I am in the know to a degree, I believe, on Major League Baseball and the such.
Okay. So I wanted a perspective from a higher level coach on how you felt about the pitch clock.
I love it. I love it. So we have a rule in our program, Sal, you have to throw the baseball in 12 seconds or less. So you catch the ball back from the catcher, your clock starts. You got to be on the rubber. The catcher and the pitching coach have to be in a great rhythm. They got to get the sign, give the sign, come set. Now, listen, you come set at the 8-second mark and you hold to the 13-second mark because you want to keep a hitter or a runner off balance. I'm cool with that. I understand that. But for the most part in our program, we work on 12 seconds or less in our bullpens, 12 seconds or less in our dry drills, 12 seconds or less when we're on the hill in the game. And so for me, I love the pitch clock because I like that type of baseball. To me, one, it's a great brand to play. I think it brings the best out in players because an issue with baseball is overthinking. So the less thinking that's involved, sometimes the better you get out of everybody. But then secondly, everybody loves action. Everybody loves things going on. So if I can eliminate 6 seconds in between every single, let's just call it inning. If you take 6 seconds off of every inning over the course of a game, you just save people a minute and a half. And over the course of a lifetime, I think you can think about a lot of a minute and a half you'd like to get back. So if you really, if you think about it, and it's a grander scale than that, we're talking way more time that they're going to get back for the game. And I think,
I think people don't like to hear people, 20-30
baseball
minutes.
Sal, I don't care. Like whatever makes the game entertaining to me is fun. And it's also easy for me because I coach that brand of baseball. So it's easily watchable as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the biggest pushback that anybody is seeing really is on those controversial ones, like the end of the game type of stuff. Everybody else, like the pace of the game just looks so much more watchable, especially from someone who, you know, I'm a baseball guy. I'll watch baseball all day.
Right.
But if you're talking about someone who maybe not as engaged in the sport, I would want to watch this product more, even if it's spring training.
That's a great point. And honestly, man, if you think about it, the only thing that is a little dicey to me is the hitter one.
Yes.
With the hitter eye. I don't know how you feel about that, but like for me, I just think hitting is so hard. It's like you want the pitcher to go in 20 seconds, let them go. And if the hitter's not ready, it's on them. But for the umpire to have to assume an opinion on whether a guy's ready or not based on their eye visual or what their head positioning is, I just feel like that's a little unfair when you're trying to hit 96 and then 82 when it slides or drops or whatever. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but
I was a hitter as well. Actually, I pitched and hit in college, which was funny, but I would look at this more from the perspective only because of this. This rule was created for the pitchers. It wasn't created for the hitters, right? The hitters are the ones a lot of times getting penalized we're seeing in these early games. This is my opinion. Why doesn't the hitter get two timeouts when the pitcher gets two pickoffs? If that's your limiting thing, how come the batter can only call timeout once?
That's a great point. Or furthermore, how come the batter doesn't always get granted time when they ask for time?
Right.
So you're right. There should be a consistency between the two. If the pitcher is allowed to step off and do whatever they want to do twice, then the batter should at least be allowed at least one automatic grant timeout. Right. As long as it's like, if the pitcher, maybe it's like, if the pitcher starts their motion, you can't call it, fine, deal. That one can be up to the discretion of the umpire. But if that guy's standing there getting a sign for 12 seconds, and then he starts to come set and you call time, you should be granted that time 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah.
Like just no, in my mind, there's no doubt about it. And you're right. Cause think about how many times you hear the hitter going time, and they don't get it. And now they're caught in this, what do I do moment? And it's like, in theory, it's kind of unfair because if the pitcher wants to just step off and the hitter's in a zone, there's nothing the hitter can do. Right, they just have to deal with it and move on. Whereas they don't have the opposite going for them.
Yeah, there's nothing really, there's no luxuries afforded to the hitter.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's interesting, man. And you know what, though? I like it, though, because it gets conversation around the game. And the game needs to keep growing. People need to keep liking the game. Not enough people are engaged in the game. It is boring at lower levels. Like, I watch my nephew. He goes through, and you probably see it all the time at ITZ, how easily boring it gets for the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, and it stinks because you're trying so hard to keep them engaged, but it's like, there's only one baseball to go to this one person. You know, it's not like basketball where even though you don't have the ball, everyone's still working. I could be on defense in baseball and never get the ball in a given game. And like, that's difficult for a little kid. So I think there needs to be more ways shaped or talked about, and how do you grow the game at the lower level? How do you make it more fun? Yeah, you know, so that's a whole, probably another conversation, but I just think about that all the time. We're worried so much about the major league game, but how about the, what grabs the major leaguer at 7 years old to fall in love with the game of baseball?
Right. And I think that that's been a huge lacking aspect of our conversation. I agree with you, and kind of, it bleeds into the other point I kind of wanted to talk to, but now I want to talk about it a little differently because so much emphasis has been put on this World Baseball Classic as this is what spreads the game. This is what makes people fall in love with the game. And I don't know if you need this grand style type of thing to get love for the game. Cause you look at places like, for example, Cuba, Puerto Rico, places like this that churn out ball players, those kids play ball from probably almost before they could walk.
Right. It's the first thing they know how to do.
Yeah. So I don't know if this grand style of thing is what's needed. However, I like the idea of it. it's just the way that it seems to be kind of forced on all of the viewers of baseball is, I kind of agree. I think that we should be developing more kind of natural feeling ways, especially with the youth levels, of getting more people involved in the game.
Well, think about, like, I got 2 points for you off of that. The first one is, think about the Little League World Series. It's huge. Everyone loves it. It's centered around 12-year-olds. So it's like, you're telling me we can't continue to do stuff like that with social media and other things at different levels of Little League baseball. So that's like that's the first thing, right? The second thing is, the World Baseball Classic is what baseball's trying to make baseball's version of the FIFA World Cup.
Yes.
And I get it, right? You look at the World Cup, the engagement level's off the charts, but that's because in our country of America, not many people realize that soccer is religion in every country around the world, minus ours. So when you talk about the World Cup, it's just a different level of care or want, or it's just magnified. Whereas the World Baseball Classic, baseball is not a truly international sport. It's international in subjective areas of different parts of our world, but it's not a 100% international sport. Whereas soccer, we are behind the eight ball in soccer, and every other country literally that exists thinks about soccer. So I think that's the problem. It's not like you're taking a sport that is internationalized over every single country, where every country has the access to be great at baseball, play baseball, love baseball. Everyone knows baseball. No, it's the exact opposite. So what's happening is, you might be growing the game to a degree, like having Team Israel's and Italy's and countries that aren't really known for baseball, getting some people on a grand stage. You're saying, oh, that's a big leaguer. I had no idea represents that country. That's really cool. And I'm not discrediting those things, but you can't try and create something that has had, like a FIFA World Cup, that's had roots for 60, 70, 80 years. And the ties are just so different to the countries comparative to the game of baseball. Now, if you wanted to tell me, and call me if I'm crazy, the Rome Show podcast, if you want to, at Wide World of Rome, if you want to tweet at me, Coach Romo 24, I don't care. Call me crazy. It'd probably be better if it was football that we're talking about, because that's actually our country's sport. So really, we'd be trying to grow our country. The national pastime is,
that's no a hot take baseball. Right there, Coach.
Yeah, it's no longer baseball. The national pastime is football in our country as of the last 30 years. That's just a fact. The care level, the watching, right? All of that's true. So if that's the case, in theory, you should be making the World Football Classic, because then you'd be growing the game. So I don't know. I could be crazy for those takes. Probably am for a little bit of them. But that's just how I feel, excuse me, about the world. So I find myself not caring that much, because I'm like, I don't really care. I want just Major League Baseball season. I don't need to see these guys playing for their country. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily hit home for me.
Right. The only thing that the only reason I really like the World Baseball Classic, I would just say, because it kind of replaces it. It was supposed to be really the replacement for the fact that it got taken out of
the Olympics. Yes.
So they kind of tried to model it after FIFA's World Cup, but I believe that the original kind of feelings behind it were the fact that we no longer have an Olympic sport.
Yeah. Which I agree and I understand. But I also get, like, the Olympics were never built to be the traditional four sports world stage. Right. The Olympics were built to be a
state competition.
Yes, absolutely. So you add hockey in there, and you add basketball in there, you add baseball and softball. It's like, all right, cool. But it's like, that's not really.
To be fair, there is power walking in the Olympics. Now.
Yeah, which I think
we can fit baseball in.
I don't disagree with you 100%. I definitely don't disagree with you at all. But it's just one of those things where it's like,
oh, yeah,
if you look at the root of the Olympics, you know, it was the opposite. But yeah, I feel you on that. Right. I think I'm in a minority on this conversation. I'm not going to lie. I do think a lot of people like the World Baseball Classic. I guess for me, it's just more or less the timing of it's weird. It comes at the time of spring training when you're getting ready for the season anyway. So I feel like that also, it's a weird, like, it's like, all right, I'm thinking about the Mets here, but then it's like, oh, but now I'm worried about Team USA. And it's like, It's very interesting. Whereas like hockey, they take a break for the Olympics. There is a 3-week shutdown. So the only hockey you're watching is Olympic hockey. And it's right, like, no, I think that makes it a little bit more meaningful when you're watching the World Cup. The only soccer you're watching at all ever in the world at that time, only league, anything, is the FIFA World Cup.
Because whereas all the best players are playing for their country.
Right. Whereas baseball, I can watch Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor if they decide not to play for their country for the Mets. So it's not necessary. Does that make sense? You know, right.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's a lot of my thought process on it too, is like looking at the way those sports handle it as well.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense too. Cause the way that they handle it is they kind of try to do both. They try to not do it during the regular season, but do it during the spring training when the games technically don't count.
Right. Which is stupid, because if we have the Mexican League and the Australian League go on in the wintertime, or the Winter League, or the Dominican Winter League, where half of these minor leaguers and all these playing anyways, you're telling me once every 3 years, the best players in the world can't muster up 3.5 more weeks of baseball? Like, come on now. Even basketball does it in the summertime, not during the NBA season. So it's like, you give me that, I'll give you a little bit more engagement level, but you put it in the middle of college baseball season, professional baseball season, and now you want me to care about the World Cup? I don't have time. I don't have enough eyes. I don't have enough care level. And I don't think many people have enough time to be able to watch that much baseball. It's an overload.
Yep. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I even tried to watch the game last night. The thing started at 11 o'clock. I was asleep in the third inning. You know,
and then you add the fact that it's the time zones, and 100%. So yeah, it could be awesome, but that's a lot of stuff with baseball, man. Like a lot of stuff with baseball could be awesome. Like
could be awesome.
There should be that camera that exists in football where I'm like behind the quarterback under center. Why does that not exist in baseball? I should be right behind the pitcher on like a drone. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is that not a thing? Like, I get it. Okay, the wire could get hit with the ball. So could the catwalk in Tampa. So what do I care? If that could come into play, why can't a sick drone camera come into play? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are
things that baseball...
And if the ball does hit the wire, you got a story that's on national headlines. Now everyone's talking about Major League Baseball. So it's like, I think they're missing the boat on a lot of that stuff, where it's like, change the game a little bit. Like they have like the base cameras and that stuff. It's really cool, but give me more of the player stuff. Give me more of the player interviews. Like that stuff was what kids like. I'm watching a golf documentary right now called Full Swing. And I've never been so engaged in the PGA Tour now, because it's like, it's really cool to watch these guys be human. Like, this is sick. Like, this is such a hard sport. And to watch them be normal dudes, be mad at themselves, go to the driving range and hate their shot, mother effing, all these things, it's cool. And like, I think we need to see more of that in baseball. Like, show me the analytics meeting before the game so I understand the numbers. Show me those things. Show me the things that people care about, like other sports are doing, like a Hard Knocks, where I'm inside a locker room for 4 weeks. And it's like, oh, and I get it. It's dramatized. I'm not an idiot, but it's still a better inside than most things you would get. So now I understand what a professional football team operates like to a degree. So I could go on, because on my radio show, man, my brother and I have broken this down a bunch, because there's so many times you can go back over the last 5 years and say baseball missed an opportunity here or there. And so this whole thing was started on the pitch clock, right? And the basis of the pitch clock is to speed the game up to get a different generation of fan. Yeah, okay. That's not getting a different generation of fan, though. Other things are getting the different generation of fan. Fun and engagement are. Pace will help, but that won't help for another 20 freaking years. You got to get the kids that want to see and watch the game first. So that's my thoughts.
You nailed it. Well, everybody, I think you just got a taste of Romo's rants. So I think we're going to coin that term.
Yeah, I like that.
And for everybody else who might want to hear a little bit of this, just reach out to me. We are going to keep talking here, Coach. But for now, my ITZ family, peace out. Have a good one. And we'll see you maybe in 2 weeks. Maybe in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll see Coach Romo.
Beautiful.
We'll see what's going on. Thank you, Coach.
Bye, ITZ family.
All right. So I say we just start right back where we were. So everybody, I don't even know if I welcomed you in the first place. So welcome
you to
the Patriots show. My show now. We got Coach Romo, if you're just tuning in.
What's up, everybody?
Coach, we were just steaming, absolutely steaming on some of the efforts to expand the game of baseball. I think it kind of spreads into a lot of different sports, and I don't like talking ITZ. I don't like going crazy on my philosophical kind of thoughts at all. I think there's a lot of things that the games are messing up here. One thing I want your thoughts on, what about like ticket prices? All right.
Recording in progress.
All right. I asked you about ticket prices.
Yes, sir.
You said you had a great response. What do you got?
So I got to spend some time in indie ball, right? I spent like 5 years in independent baseball and
playing wise,
bench coaching.
Bench right? coach. Okay.
So from the bench coaching perspective, you get a lot of perspective on the fans because you're looking a lot. You're standing at first base a lot. And I realized that there was just such a fun engagement level at those games. And I think it's because you're going to the game knowing I didn't spend that much money on the ticket. Didn't spend that much money on the food. Didn't spend that much money on the alcohol. Didn't spend much money on the gift shops. And I was able to afford a really good baseball game at the professional level for my family. So if you're talking about ticket prices and pro baseball and how it's affecting the game or people coming to the game, I'd rather sit on my couch. I got better visuals. I got the K zone. I got analytics, statistics on win probability. I got cool things involved. And if I go to the game, it's $120 plus half the places where we live. You got to pay the tolls.
How about you got to go to the fucking city?
Oh, it's the worst. So to me, it's like, I don't know. That's a huge issue. But at the same time, you're paying these dudes so much freaking money. It's like
you have to.
You have to. Where else are you making up the money because of how much money these contracts are?
Right. And that's conversations that I've had with some of my friends, some of the other people we've had on this show or on my friend Danny's show is stuff like that. Like if you're going to pay these massive contracts, you're just going to have to charge these crazy prices that we're seeing.
There's right.
No way.
Yeah. And there is no other way. And then, but then you go into the food and the food's crazy price. And then you go into the gift shop and the gift shop's crazy price and the parking's crazy price. And it's like,
right.
Where's the alleviation for the fans? Like, I don't understand. Like where are you making it that it's, oh, that the fans are going to make, oh, I want to go to this game. Cause there's no in-game entertainment. I'm sorry. That's good enough. There's no baseball that's good enough for me to want to spend $200 on any given evening when I want to just go watch a game of baseball. When I could go to a bar, spend $50, get food and have enough drinks to be drunk and have watched the whole game with my buddies. It's just,
right.
I can't equate the two. And so but that's the problem is you can't go backwards. It's right. Not like you can't go backwards. So you either have to come up with crazy ticket deals where you get multiple games at a price, but I don't know. It's interesting because you also have 81 games to fill and that's a lot of freaking games to fill. Like basketball, 41, hockey, 41, football, 8. Like it's a whole lot easier to fill your stadiums and charge a little bit more money when you're only doing 41 of them. We have 81 games.
Eight times. You're talking about 10 times more than football.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So now I'm going to be a season ticket holder for baseball and go to 81 games. Hell no. And then go to 81 games and pay all that money for the food. No, fuck right. No. That's just no way. So I don't know what you do though, but that's a huge, huge issue.
Right. And because now I'm at the point now where I don't think I could justify going to a Yankee game, which I love to do. I don't think I could justify doing it unless it's a playoff game because the value for entertainment is not high enough.
And then obviously the playoff games are so insanely jacked up because it's the playoffs that it's like, oh right.
But at the
God.
End of the day, it ends up being not much more.
Correct.
Like,
and it's worth
tickets
it.
Tickets are not making up the, like when I look at the whole total amount that I spent on the day going to the city, the tickets are about half.
Correct.
So when I talk about going to a playoff game, it just increases that half to about 2/3.
Correct.
The rest of it's still there.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. No, that's a great point. There's just so many things that baseball has to look at and say, like, this is a problem for us. Like, how can we fix it? And I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what you can do.
Baseball though. Kind of. That's what
it's a lot of sports.
About.
It's like, a lot of sports.
Basketball too, man. Like I can't justify going to a game with my soon to be father-in-law that I can't, I know he loves basketball. He wouldn't watch baseball for a day if you paid him, but basketball, he'd go watch. Soccer, he'd go watch. I can't go to basketball, man. Yeah. I can't justify paying what $150 a ticket to go into Brooklyn and watch his team.
Well, and on top of that, right? Besides the cost of just going to the game, if there's a great player on that team, you have no idea if they're going to play that night.
Exactly.
So, oh, great. The Warriors are coming into town. Well, that's awesome because it could be Klay Thompson and Draymond Green's rest night. So I get to watch Steph Curry, which is cool. But that whole three-headed monster thing, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I can't watch them all. And maybe that's what I wanted to do. Or I want to watch Kevin Durant for the Phoenix Suns when he comes back to Brooklyn. But that might be a scheduled off night for Kevin Durant. So even though it would be fun for national television to see him come back to Brooklyn, he might not be playing. So you just wasted all that fucking money for what? For nothing, really, because you didn't even get to watch the best of the teams anyways, which is why if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, yo, I'm going to spend my money on a professional sport, spend it on hockey.
Hockey.
You're going to go to a game and you're going to see, first off, every player on the ice that actually gives an F every single time they step on the ice.
Please curse, by the way.
Yeah, I got you. There's no one is going to bow out for sake of better terms because they're hurt. It's actually the opposite. They get hit in the fucking teeth and they're like, all right, give me like 27 seconds and I'll be back on the ice and we're good. So if you're putting your money anywhere on a pro sport, go to the ice rink because it's going to be
value for the money is so is. Much better.
There it is. And you can't tell me that's not the best playoff sport either, by the way.
That is a fact. Yeah. I really enjoy playoff hockey. I love playoff baseball though, man. I'm such a purist with it.
Yeah, it is really. I mean, yeah, it's funny, right? Like playoff basketball is the worst. Playoff football is really a crapshoot. But when you look at playoff baseball and playoff hockey, anyone could win on any given night. And that's what's cool about it.
Absolutely true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So I also wanted to ask you I want to ask you a little bit more about your show because I didn't really dive too much into it on ITZ's show. How did that come about in its originality?
So about 4 years ago now, I think, with my brother-in-law's brother, I started a show called The Dab Podcast, and it was just the two of us. They used to call us talking heads. It was just the two of us, and we would just kind of break down different sports topics. We started to make it like a show. We figured out how to get it on Apple and Spotify and Google and all that good jazz. And so from there, we just kind of rolled. And then I got asked to be on this radio station. It's an internet broadcast radio station called Hamilton Radio. Okay. And Hamilton Radio kind of took the show under the wing, but wanted us to change the name. Then my brother-in-law's brother started having kids. So it was tough for him to podcast, not making any money doing podcasting. So I took the show to the live airwaves. We turned it into the Rome Show. My brother joined. And then from there, we linked on with a place called 12 Ounce Sports Radio. They're another live broadcasting, internet radio platform across Canada and the United States. So they had some good streaming. And then we just kind of rolled from there. And then, I obviously put up every show as a podcast. We kind of, towards the later stages of it, we've been on like a 6 or 7 month hiatus now because of the new job. But we kind of transitioned to just doing podcasting much of late. The live radio was fun, but the restrictions of the timing is tough. As you know, in baseball, it's difficult. To do a show every Monday morning at 6 a.m. live till 8 a.m. Like there's a lot that goes into it. So, but that's kind of the history of the show, the basis of it. And, I'm really excited for its triumphant return, whenever that is.
Well, you can definitely just do minor shows and just do audio only, which would not be a problem.
Yeah. So. And the thing is like, you know what, it's like, what I've learned as I did it more and more is like I used to do these like sheets and color code them of what we were going to talk about in the segments and all this great stuff. And like at the end of the day, I think what burnt me out a little bit and what killed me a lot was that I was trying to do too much when in actuality, you could ask one question like you did tonight about baseball time rules. And we've got 47 minutes of a freaking podcast about baseball and other things. And so I think what I'm transitioning it to once we get back on is this is what we're talking about today. If it rolls for 23 minutes, that's what it is. If it's six minutes, great. If it's an hour, awesome. Like, and not be as organized and time management with it and be more free flowing with it and kind of let it roll that way.
Yeah. I think that I think that helps. I think there's a good mix, like definitely writing some stuff down. I didn't write anything down tonight because I had a feeling that we could just talk, but other shows, like I do like to write stuff down, but like you said, one question can lead into 40, 50 an hour. You never know.
100%.
So there's no point over prepping for something that, you know, like my friend's sports podcast, for example, he'll go with his other buddy. And once he talks basketball, one topic will last 30 minutes. The next will last two. The next topic will last 35. And it's like, you don't know.
Right.
But you could just go. So it's like, why would you plan and write out something that, you know, if you guys hit it, you're going to go for 30 minutes. Why would you plan that?
Right. Correct. 100%. And also, you've seen it too. And you're at the facility or you're just talking with your boys, like the random free flow conversation that comes out of just like talking about stuff is way more fun and engaging than trying to force things that maybe you don't even feel that confident talking about. And like, that also goes to like, I say this about the game all the time. Like, if you don't know how to bunt really well, you should practice it, because if you don't feel confident in doing it, you ain't going to be good at it. So you can't force it, because if you force it, you're going to be even worse at it. You're going to feel less confident. So you just got to let it go. You got to let it flow. Flip it over, put the ball on the ground and run. Don't overthink it. Don't do too much, you know? So yeah, I feel that on a high level, and I'm excited, man. The Rome show will be back, dude. I can't wait.
What are you thinking of doing? Are you trying to do it maybe in the summer when you guys finish your season out?
Yeah, that'll probably be the plan. You know, if I can, you know, like I set the system up tonight for this. So, you know, now I'm like, you know, it's here, it's set up. I might as well. I'm in a flow. I produce my dad's podcast. It's called The Leadership Library, and we put out two a week, and you know, we pre-record them. We pre-record like 20 episodes, and then we put those 20 episodes out over the course of like 4 months. And so, you know, I could do now? Yeah. Yeah. So, every like every 4 months we record, it's called The Leadership Library. It's his baby. It's, he's the author of a book. It's called, Tighten the Lug Nuts.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'll give you a copy. I got a few in my apartment, and, he'll probably sign one for you if you want. And, it's just like
a copy is insane. That's good.
Not just because he's my dad. He's good. He's good at what he does. He was good at what he did at UPS, and he's good at the leadership stuff. And so he came to me. He's like, yo, can we do a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I can't do anything else in my life. I got way too much on my plate, but I can help you. And so we kind of took the concepts from his book and started rolling with a podcast. And we started it, I honestly want to say, a year ago now. And he's got a good following, 'cause he does, you know, he talks, speaking engagements. There you go. Couldn't find the words. And so we just kind of put it into podcast form. They're like 3 or 4 minute podcasts. We put them out every Tuesday and Thursday, and everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can get it. And it's pretty cool. Yeah. We record the 20 episodes. Then over the course of time, I edit them. I clean them up. I put an intro, put an outro on them. I put them up on the site for them. And then boom, we're good.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's fun being behind the scenes. Like, you know, I haven't been able to get my podcast fill behind the microphone a lot in the last year, but I've been able to get my fill through my pops and through his podcast and doing the producing of it, which is fun in its own right as well too.
Right. Yeah. No, 'cause I enjoy that as well. And like, I mean, I'm just kind of like, I've had some goosebumps in this conversation. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's good feelings. No, it's, I think it's really good for you as a coach to be able to be vocal. You know what I mean? A lot of them are camera shy, not able to express their feelings. And I think that kind of plays a role too in their communication abilities with their players. So I think that plays into kind of your persona.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And, you know, it's funny on a little bit of the topic of players playing a certain way. That's why I tell my guys they need to be themselves all the time, because if you start trying to be something else that you're not, or doing things that you're not comfortable doing, it just don't work out. You can't find the positive in yourself. Can't find the confidence in yourself. So we talk about that all the time. All my guys are like, man, Romo is like that guy that just lets everyone be themselves all the time. Like, fuck yeah, that's exactly right. You got to be that guy. That's the type of person you got to be. 'Cause if you're not that, then you're not really living to your true self, nor are you reaching your true potential.
Right. If you're just going to keep limiting yourself or trying to hold yourself back in every scenario, you're never going to be your full potential. You're never going to reach it.
100%.
I couldn't agree more, man. Other than that, did you have anything you wanted to talk about, man, in general?
I mean, nothing spectacular. I mean, we've definitely crushed it over the last bunch of minutes, but I got to say, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah.
I think people believe that there's a lot of podcasting going on, but I don't think enough people are talking about some of the stuff you're talking about, which is like the levels of baseball or in general, just things in baseball that are interesting to discuss that kids on my team would have high level opinions on, but probably don't get a chance to have people hear talk about it or hear their opinion. So shout out to you for having those guys on, for talking to those guys, for talking for sure. about us, because it's a lot of fun, man. I fucking appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I love this stuff and some of your boys really engage with it, which is awesome. And of course, some of the conversations that we'll have will probably be after their season. I don't want to really get in the middle of them training right now, but
I can't wait to hear what they have to say after the season.
Yeah. And I mean, even regardless of how the season pans out, I just want to see, you know, some of them, their trajectories, you know, some of them are going to be grown men heading into the world. You know, how are they feeling about that? What's their transition like? You know,
that could be 19 episodes on its own, right? Cause I don't think enough kids, they don't know what to do. They have no fucking clue what to do when they graduate college.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I ripped myself out of college to go work. So like, it's very different from their side.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to get into some of them. And then whenever we can get either a video set up for you or honestly, just go shoot the shit in person. We'll get a nice, a good episode done. Get a few drinks in us.
I'm in for it. I love that. I'm in.
No, I'm not going to tell you when. Your schedule is wild. Mine's a little
All right, I'll tell you when.
Yeah.
And then better. You let me know if you're free.
That's better. That's better, man. But for tonight, go get some sleep. Go think about what you got coming tomorrow. I'm sure you got it. Either a game or fun practice coming.
We got practice tomorrow, two games Friday, two games Sunday. So it'll be a good weekend.
All right, man.
I'm excited.
I'm pumped for you guys. I mean, you got 4-3 so far.
Yeah.
You see where it goes.
If you give me 4-3 in the next 7, I'll be a very happy camper.
I would be a very happy camper in your spot too.
So, well, I appreciate you, Sal. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely, man. Have a good one.
You too, bro.
Peace.
I'ma make all these bitches say, damn, I wish I were the fucking state. I wanna be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream and I'm running. Running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'ma keep dreaming.